listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 28th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, this is the last Wednesday of May already.
I know. I can't believe it. Time is a heck of a thing.
It is so.
A little bit of foreshadowing on that, too, but it really is. It goes by quickly, but yet it seems to take so long. But I can tell you that I am happy to have you with me tonight, and I'm very happy to have those joining us live in our chat. And as always, we appreciate those that catch up with us from the archives, and we appreciate your feedback as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight, as always, with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, I am very excited for our topic. We're going to be going into what is called the Andromeda Paradox, kind of a deep, I mean, Lord knows I'm probably not going to know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to try, and we're going to have a fun conversation.
Well, this
a little housekeeping beforehand. I just want to give you everybody a shout-out right off the bat before I slips my mind. We are going to have Dr. Doug Kelly joining us next week on the program for a topic, Staying Grounded in Life. So that should be good. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, looking forward to that one for sure.
And, one thing I'm going to miss, Dr. Vicki and I were talking just before, you know, there's no, with Teams is the new software we're using to communicate, and it really does an excellent job of filtering out ambient noise.
It does.
I think there was last week, it was a couple of times where I was laughing, and I don't think anybody knew why, because they couldn't hear the dogs barking or playing around me.
We're going to miss that,
and
Michael.
Honestly, I'm going to.
Jeez, it was entertainment. That's what we call live radio, you know?
Exactly. So we're going to get into it. We're going to get into the weeds of it. We're going to talk about some fun stuff. We may cut it a little short. I'm having some AC things going. It's choking on pet hair. We might just get really going with this topic and go, you know, for the full 50 minutes to an hour. We'll see. But the Andromeda Paradox, you know, this is something I'd heard about, you know, years ago, and I didn't know it by that name, but I'd seen videos that were talking on this. And, you know, it is something that I wanted to find again, and I'm glad that I did. And so, real quick, I'm just going to go through a quick rundown. This is something that was proposed by a physicist named Roger Penrose, and he was working off of prior physicist work in the mid-20th century, but he came out with this in 89. He advanced this idea of the Andromeda Paradox, in which he points out, using Einstein's theory of relativity, that two people walking past each other on the street could have very different present moments. And I'm going to give you the context for that. And if one of those people were walking towards the Andromeda Galaxy, and through some sci-fi tech or magic, they could see what's going on at that moment on an alien planet in the Andromeda Galaxy, that present for them might be hours or days behind the events on that same planet for the person walking away from the galaxy. They could be relatively close to each other in physical proximity on Earth, but they would be in completely separate moments of now on this alien planet in this different galaxy near us. And this idea of relativity, of time, is a fascinating concept to me. It brings kind of everything that we talk about when it comes to reality, to how we experience this existence, kind of together into this idea of what is time? What is the present? What is the now? So, you know, this is just something I've been very excited to talk about.
Which is different from a subjective relativity, which, you know, two people can be looking at the same thing and mm-hmm. have a different perspective, and their now can be different. And
mm-hmm. absolutely.
They're how they remember the past
mm-hmm.
and living in the now, and the future is different,
right.
even though you look at the same thing.
And it brings us so many philosophical questions to the forefront. That we're going to get into something that they call the relativity of simultaneity. Excuse me. That is just an entirely different thing, but and related. But let's go. There's a famous example that Roger Penrose used when talking about this. You know, when you're looking on this through this magical sci-fi portal to this world on a neighboring galaxy, you know, how can you talk about uncertainty of outcomes? You know, when one person sees again. Dogs are barking around me. I'm guessing that nobody can hear this.
Nobody can hear it, Michael.
My God. How can there be uncertainty? What is going on here? Because two people relatively close to one another could be experiencing the entirely different moments of now on this alien world. He uses the example of, it. You know, if one person walking towards Andromeda were able to see it, they might see a point where, you know, this alien species is having a conference about whether or not to invade Earth. While he says this to his friend, that friend looks through the same portal and say, well, what are you talking about? That decision's already been made. The fleet's on its way. That decision was made days ago. So this kind of concept of, you know, what is the now? What is going on? Hey, Dr. Allen heard it. But the idea being, you know, that we are kind of in our little special space-time bubble. What kind of implications does this have not only on predestiny, not only on space travel, but, you know, on our entire concepts of time.
Well,
now,
I think it has some basis for thought when it comes to being able to foretell the future, which now are we in?
Interesting. Can we change the future?
Yes.
You know?
And there's two kinds of futures. One is when you're on your true path, and I believe you get there mm-hmm. anyway. But the other is once you know something ahead of time, that's like your heads up. Do you really want to go that way?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the one thing about time-space, kind of where we're going with this, or what you're alluding to. I've always wondered that, too. If I'm doing a reading and I can see a future, am I projecting myself into that particular future? Because sometimes mm-hmm. when I'm talking to somebody and I'll say, wait a minute, and I have to think about if I put myself in a different future, is that a better path? Life mm-hmm. through their eyes. And I go, yeah, go that way. I don't know. It's like I can see their future, but am I in there now in that
right.
future? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Weirdly.
It kind of also brings home that everything is very, very relative to us and our perspective. And, you know, it makes me also think about if let's also think about this. And if anybody wants, you can look up videos. There are people that can explain it much better than I can. And I watched several videos on this from many different, you know, very intelligent people. But let's say the idea is this. Let's say you can, you know, take these massive snapshots of time and space. And as you move through, let's say you're in a spaceship traveling very, very fast, taking these snapshots of existence, you can kind of map out this, you know, kind of what they call like the time-space loaf. But imagine just all of existence in a, you know, cylinder type thing. And this, hold on one sec.
Hmm.
Sorry about that. Again, you probably can't hear them, but Dr. Ion could, but
can't hear them.
Bear was getting wily.
I'm feeling kind of cheated now with this that we can't hear your dogs.
Right.
What I think is, let's just change here for a sec. Donna is asking, aren't we living different futures simultaneously? Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what I was thinking about, too.
And
that's why I was thinking, if you're looking at this time-space cylinder of all of existence mapped out from the beginning of what you might call the Big Bang through time and space to the very end, who knows what that is, you look at all these events, what about, you know, you can make these parallel kind of horizontal slices of these times. Mm-hmm. You can see these moments all mapped out in a nice little pretty linear fashion. Well, what about different, you know, diagonal slices of this where things are just off a little bit? You know, you talked about different futures simultaneously. Isn't that interesting how we could all be kind of moving in and out of different multiverses any given time?
It is.
You know, and if we make these different choices in our now, you know, it might very well change kind of what is happening in our time-space bubble.
Well, Damien is asking, are we referring to the time light travels?
Oh, that's absolutely part of it, and that's something that they reference in several of the videos that I talked about, the speed of light in the vacuum. And again, that relativity of time-space that Einstein talked about so long ago, that I maybe even have a, you know, possibility of having a glimmer of understanding of, and all of this really comes back to this idea of, you talk in certain metaphysical things or in certain dogmatic things about certain powerful entities that experience things in a non-linear fashion. That brings me back to this idea that basically when you get to this, when you get to the macro, the true macro, the past, the present, and the future are all equally valid. They are all happening at the same time.
Hmm.
And it is always shifting.
Wow. It really does. Actually, Wendy has said it really messes with how we normally think about an hour exact. But previous to that, she wrote this in the chat. What really stuck with me is how both the Andromeda paradox and even being off by a tiny angle show that small things can make a big difference when you're dealing with a big difference. When you're dealing with huge distances or big scales, whether it's space or time, a little change here can lead to a totally different outcome there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think
absolutely.
Every little thought, you know, this goes to every little thought we have and how that reverbs into the universe, you know.
Oh, of course.
Or one small action causes all these, you know, other reactions.
Right. And, you know, again, I think part of the reason this is such a wild concept and such a, you know, seemingly paradox of ideas coming together is the immense distances and the immense speeds that we're talking about here. You know, the distance between us and Andromeda is, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody in chat, but I think it's 2.5 million light years.
Mm.
And it's traveling at an incredibly fast rate of speed. Because remember, no galaxy is stationary. No sun is stationary. Our sun is orbiting the galactic center and dragging all of us around with it. You know, it is amazing to think that in the time of the Tyrannosaurus Rex, we were on the opposite side of the galaxy than we are now, with completely different constellations, completely different star systems.
Well, Dr. Ion is saying it's a cosmic chain reaction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good way to say it. Damien is adding, if they were looking at us, they would see the Earth before the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely, and depending on, again, if you have a magic super sci-fi portal that you can see the instantaneous without having to wait for light to travel, depending on where, how fast they're moving and where they're at, they'll see different slices of our existence in this now. You know, it's very interesting. And when you think about all these things being mapped out, I like the idea of, you know, how, I think it was Donna that pointed out, different futures acting simultaneously. And, you know, I was putting down some notes here. Does this mean everything is preordained? How does this impact free will? I think that is something that we can play with because I think I feel on an intrinsic level we do have free will. And what does that mean? That doesn't mean that we are in control of every aspect of our lives or sometimes even every aspect of our own decisions. But as my father has been, you know, fond of saying, we have a menu of choices and we can choose from that menu.
Yeah.
And our pattern of behaviors will kind of at times alter in maybe subtle or maybe big ways what's on that menu. Our concept of belief and what we allow ourselves to conceive of as possible alters what's on that menu. So I do believe that we do have free will. And some people want to take the idea of free will to an extreme, that we control every aspect of our personality, of our behaviors, of all of these things.
I think we have to be aware.
Right.
Because there's so many unconscious things going on inside of us, too.
Or,
you know, preconditioning and how we've been programmed from birth and all these, let's say, unconscious things. So we think we know what we want, but it's the unconscious that's behaving as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's a combination of things. There are some that go in, you know, extreme directions. There are determinists saying that everything we do in this life is based on our genetics and environment and what randomly happens to us, that we really don't have any choice at all. We're acting it out. I don't think that. I think we do have agency.
Hmm.
I think that some people obviously can get into a rut, into a pattern of behavior, and it can become almost automatic, right? But I do think that we have agency. We can alter it. What's that old phrase? You may not be able to control the direction of the wind, but you can control the sails.
Well,
so things like that.
Something that was always kind of important to me is how can some people see a future and others cannot? Like, what makes, like, what is that? And, of course, really profound for me is all of us have an instinct, which is very different than an intuition or psychic ability, which could be many and diverse, by the way. But, you know, that ventral medial prefrontal cortex, where we sense our environment, that's not necessarily being psychic. That's being knowing your situational awareness and kind of you know, instinctual, which can also be affected, and our emotions can be affected by preconceived notions or, you know, conditioning that we have inside of us. And basically, you walk in a yellow room and you say, oh, I don't feel comfortable, but something happened to you in a yellow room when you were a kid. So we have all those factors going on, which is very different when you can't find a scientific explanation. And what you're talking about is important to me because I, in being able to foresee a future and also be able to tune in and see people's past. It's like tuning into their unconscious, you know, or super conscious, and knowing where they've been. The other thing, oddly, and it doesn't happen all the time, but an ability to see through somebody else's eyes. And I remember it clearly. I was 17 the first time that happened. It freaked me out. And understanding how somebody else saw the world. And it lasted about 2 or 3 seconds. Whoa, that's a whole different reality, you know. But for those very brief moments, I've learned how to manage that. But
I mean, that's powerful.
The whole thing of, well, I've been able to help a lot of people with learning differences, you know, especially it's, oh, you see it this way. Oh, you see it that way. Well, that this explains that, you know, and which is, I think, very helpful and powerful for people. But it's what you're saying and how the Andromeda kind of notion or that paradox layers to so many other things that it kind of explains how the past, present, future is all here and now. Is that's maybe why I have a hard time living in the now. You know, my daughter said to me the other day, Mom, you just live week by week. You know, her and her husband are planners. You know, they're always planning. They've got, you know, if they're planning a road trip, everything's mapped out, like to the hour where they're going. And I fly by the seat of my pants because it's all happening at the same time. And I said, I don't know where that started or how I became that way. Maybe I was just that way. But it's not to say I don't plan. It's I am able to, you know, like spring back on my feet pretty quick because life throws us curveballs. You know,
right.
You never know what's going to happen. So I'm just, I roll with it. You know, it's, and I found that anything that I planned long term didn't work. So, you know, roll with this one. You know, so
that's
it,
the way to do
again,
it.
Again, that past, present, future. I'd like to go back to what Dr. Mike came in the chat and he said, mm-hmm. Here's my understanding. The Andromeda Paradox is a thought experiment, special relativity that illustrates how different observers, depending on their state of motion, can disagree on the temporal ordering of distant events. And then mm-hmm. he adds here, you cannot see the exact future as it is based on what is presently occurring, which is essentially a matter of probability. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And that's just another way of wording it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that also plays into, this is one thing we kind of touched on. Dr. Stephen put this idea of the idea and the consequences of perception. And I will say that in the wording of that, just as Dr. Mike had said very eloquently, two people can observe the same thing, see two entirely different things, and you might consider it a paradox, but it's not. Each of them are right in their own perspective of time and space. They're both right. They're both realities in those time space, little perception bubbles, if you will, kind of at a loss for words. Mm-hmm. And this topic, again, is so complex above me, but I encourage everybody to go out and check it out because it is fascinating to me, and it seems like one of the core things to the understanding of our reality. And I think it affects everything else. But,
so here's a term I'm not familiar with, angle error amplification. Wendy is saying her thoughts on the Andromeda Paradox is closely related to the idea of the angle error amplification. That's
if I'm not mistaken, and I very, very well could be, I think that is something relating to the relativity of simultaneity.
Oh, okay.
And this is, let me just go here to a page here. In physics, the relativity of simultaneity is the concept that distant simultaneity, whether two spatially separated events occur at the same time, is not absolute, but depends on the observer's reference frame, which is really what we've been talking about. Let me move down. Let's see. There is a graph on the, obviously, Wikipedia page I was just quickly referencing for this concept. And it shows how, you know, just when you angle the plane of existence, you can see different events in different orders in different ways. So that's a very crude and probably poor way to say that, but I think that's what she's touching on. And please, Wendy, you know, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, Donna poses a question, how does that affect horoscopes? If we see the stars light years after they are in that position in the sky, then we may not be who our signs say we are, or the signs might not be what they are described as. And maybe our purpose here is to experience free will, because if we join a collective consciousness when we pass, then we wouldn't experience free will when we die. She goes, right? Question mark. Well, that's loaded. I'd like to address horoscopes is a subjective reading, because there's volumes and volumes on, you know, all kinds of stuff. And when someone does a reading, they're extracting, I think, intuitively what they believe applies to you. A lot of it's computerized now. You know, they just extract the main stuff, you know, and blurt it back to you. And over the years, the Earth's rotation has changed, but also the stars have changed.
Yeah.
So what applied then may not apply now.
And again,
how we're interpreting that.
For the sake of argument, let's say that horoscopes have some level of authenticity. What is it about the horoscope that makes it true? Is it the stars themselves, or are those simply a correlation to whatever effect is happening on life that makes these things, these personality traits, come to the forefront? You know, are the stars simply coincidence that this is just happens to be you know, for Leos, it's this, and the stars are in this pattern, but there's some other force that's happening at the same time, yeah. Because, of course, correlation does not equal causation, even if we're talking about horoscopes and astrology, which I find very interesting, and it's been fascinating. We've had Dr. Zach on, and he's done some in-depth stuff I found kind of provocative, mm-hmm. But again, I can't bring myself into it fully, but I still find it a fascinating concept.
Well, now, I have to keep going in here. I'm trying to catch the chat. The observers or experiencers are in two locations, which should also be mentioned here.
Oh, yeah.
And
of course.
Yeah.
And traveling at different relative speeds.
Which, time travel, you know.
Yeah,
even
really,
if that's
literally.
By pure consciousness, not necessarily a physicality. It's possible, you know. Yeah. Why not? I've heard these stories, so an old indigenous elder had told me the story of when he was walking in the mountains and came across a Buddhist monk meditating just in the Rocky Mountains. And they had a conversation, and then the monk disappeared and went back to Tibet or wherever. So, you know, it's anything. I guess it's possible. Maybe he just projected his image. You know? It's a... Oh, man. And this just opens a whole can of worms, Michael.
It does. And we, you know, we got a few minutes here. I want to kill it with these wonderful discussions. Wendy coming back to, saying very well, basically, it's not a paradox. Two equally valid assessments of the present moment from different perspectives. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Life and existence is far more wonderful, beautiful, complex and wonderfully intricate than we could ever possibly truly understand with our one lifetime's worth of perspectives and experience and viewpoints.
Totally.
And I say that should not make anybody feel small. That should make you feel big, that we can see the possibilities of existence, and the vastness of existence leads us to so many exciting possibilities. You know, and last thing I want to think about is, what does this mean for space travel? I mean, obviously, I think given special relativity, kind of feel like Star Trek is out, but I mean, will we ever move into a different time-space bubble? Will you know, if we had people that lived on a different planet and we were able to communicate instantaneously through, who knows, what's the word I'm looking for when molecules are combined, quantum entanglement? You know, what now will they have? What year will it be for them compared to us? You know, all these different things come up and is wonderful for a future discussion too. But, you know, it's a fascinating discussion. It's so many different implications, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. But, you know, we are coming to that time of the evening.
We are, and we have a lot of names in the chat for pulling cards tonight. So we'll take the first 10 people. And I think we have 9 names in there for sure. So we'll start with Dr. Ione. This is an inner oracle self-discovery card, followed up by a tarot card. Let's see what we got, Michael, for Ione.
Absolutely. Give me just a second. I was looking and jotting down some names here. And you're going to have to help keep me honest, folks in chat and Dr. Vicky here.
I got them.
But I know we have Ione first, and for you, pulling from the middle here. All right. Good one. Classic. Number 3. Be who you are. Walk your own path. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
Well, and the 7 of Swords, the 7 of Spades as a support for that, Ione, is it goes better than you expect. You know, very often a 7 of Spades can mean things are taken away or things are given. But when you pair up these, that's the whole idea of one card supporting another, is giving it the story. Be yourself, be you, and you might find the rewards are greater than you imagined. It's at least the feeling of it, and you know, the negative weeds itself out. Those who are not your people. you know. So hope that makes sense.
All right, Donna, tonight for you, I have number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
You know, things might feel a little tough right now, Donna, with the, you know, you got the Ten of Wands and the Ten of Clubs. But the destination is in sight. In other words, you're getting there. And, you know, as the power of the human spirit, you know, it's absolute. It just says, I just want to say to you, if there are challenges right now or feeling a little oppressed, hang in there. Then that's the time where you take 1 hour, one day at a time, and just know that there is progress being made and you are getting to where you want to be. So keep going. You know, we can all use a little of that once in a while.
We most certainly can.
So, we have Damien next.
Damien, I have a wild card for you. Wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Wheel of Fortune, I love that. This is a really good time for you to... first of all, I want to say think out of the box, which I think you do anyway, Damien. But the Wheel of Fortune is all about taking chances to take those risks. I mean, be wise about it. Don't jump off a bridge or anything. But, you know, that hopefulness that, you know, you are making progress in your life and this is a time to really look at your future in a new way. And the things you've been wanting to invest yourself into, give that some more energy and time. So I think that's very encouraging. So if you got other projects going on, keep going. Awesome.
All right.
Well, Audra.
All right.
Audra.
Welcome, Audra. You get a good one tonight. You get number 1, perfection. Mm. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and always growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or maybe not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes, as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
7 of Cups. That's 7 of Hearts. Perfection. 7 of Hearts. You know, the 7 of Hearts, simply put, I think it's, you know, dispelling what's an illusion versus a real dream. And even through our unconscious thoughts, we're living a perfect result in this moment. So we might think, this isn't quite what I thought of, but in our unconscious, that's what was affecting the now. And we're going back to that Andromeda thing, Michael. And so it's being more whole. And I think that's what this is lending to, Audra, is, you know, going right into the core of yourself and knowing what's real and what's not real. I know that's weird, hey? And not just for yourself, but what's going on around you. Because everybody's living in their own illusion. But that's a perfect result of who they are as well. So how do we interact with that? How do we dynamic with that? We certainly have to be true to yourself. So it's, you know, living in your dreams, your reality.
I love it. I love it. And love the feedback we're getting in chat, too. Good stuff. All right, we have Kevin next. And Kevin, for you, I have number 19, Invoke the Counselor Within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
Oh, you know that Two of Spades or that Two of Swords? I always call that one of the back cards. You know, when you have to be intuitive about something, there may not be any facts in front of you or intellectual kind of thinking things through. And it's that feeling, that intuitive feeling. So Invoke the Counselor Within, I think, is about accessing that spiritual part of yourself, Kevin, that not emotion, it's that calling, like listening to that inner voice that always tells you the truth. Even if it doesn't quite make sense to you, know it and then just watch it kind of in other words, it'll present itself. So once you acknowledge that spiritual desire, it has a way of manifesting outward. If you know, it's when we suppress these things that they can't come out. So that's what I want to say. It's tap into that inner counselor, that inner spirit. And it's like a whole new world opens up. Hope that makes sense to you. So we have a lot of stuff going on in the chat. I just want to, I know Dr. Stephen, I lost it now in the chat, but Dr. Stephen had mentioned about mathematics, and Dr. Mike backs it up. For those who are unfamiliar with Octonian mathematics, it's a branch of abstract algebra that studies the Octonians, an eight-dimensional number system that extends the real numbers, the complex numbers, and the quaternions. Thank you, Michael.
I mean, I'm guessing here.
Well, I don't also have my reading glasses on, so, you know, weird words. that's just a kind of a backup. So, we've talked about music and chakras and all kinds of stuff not too long ago, too, last week. So,
yeah.
Oh, I think we have Brad next.
All right, and let's see, for Brad, I have for you number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
Well, you might be feeling a little bit philosophical lately, Brad, with the Seven of Pentacles, Seven of Diamonds. One planet, one destiny, like trying to see a bigger picture, and how that relates to perhaps your work, business, you know, sometimes conduct, you know, scrutinizing conduct of others, perhaps. But, you know, the Seven of Diamonds is also a harvest card. It's like when a lot of the work is done. And I have to go to Maslow's hierarchy for that, too, because we don't really allow ourselves, you know, that insightful thoughtfulness if we're struggling with no food or a place to live. So it's like you've reached a place in your life where, you know, taking a bit of a break now, looking at the bigger picture, and then how you want to see yourself in the future within that bigger picture. And so, again, it's just feeling a little philosophical these days and how it all works. And it's contemplative, but don't spend too much time on it because you get a headache. and you just keep going ahead, because I think that wherever one layer of success now brings a new new challenges and rewards. And I think there is something new, kind of, I'm feeling that, new on the horizon for you. So that's fun. Awesome.
I like it.
And we have Brian. Sorry.
Oh, I think I actually missed Brian. I had Salon, but all right, Brian, you get this one next. You have, wild card number 9 blank.
Oh.
Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember, your unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, but in the loudest of ways. It's often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Boy, I have the 2 of clubs, 2 of wands, and support. I like the blank card. But again, I've always been somebody who does sit in the edge of their chair, you know, seat of your pants kind of thing. I like change, and it's always unnerving, but you wonder what's coming. Like something interesting, like being interested in what that is. And when you have that 2 of clubs, it's like looking into your future. Like, what is coming? How do you fit mm-hmm. into that? And I know Brad and Brian are listening together tonight and in the chat together. And maybe you're having conversations, you know, different perspectives, but more of the same thing about, you know, where you are in life and what does that future hold. But you're coming at it from 2 different places, which is a juxtaposition, you know, and that's, I find that's perfectly cool. So, taking steps, you know, new steps in your life, Brian, but it feels good. It feels lighter. And I feel all this optimism for you. So, if there is any negativity around you, just, you know, put up a shield.
I like it. All right. And now I have Salon next, if I'm not mistaken. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Who's next?
What's that?
Who's next?
Salon? Salon?
Well, Salon is Brett.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Unless
they correct
me in here, because I think Salon is Brian and Brett are here, so...
Hold on, let's see. Okay. All right, then I'm going to go with that. But
well, then they can jump in the chat and tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, okay,
oh, yes,
perfect.
Salon
all right,
is Brian.
Perfect. Okay,
he just said so.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, so, all right, Jeff. Jeff, come on down. We have you next. And Jeff, for you, I have number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
An energy shift. You know, I don't remember people's readings, but I remember energy. It's like a resonance somehow. And your energy is feeling a little lighter than perhaps last week or the week before, Jeff. This is the 6 of hearts, the 6 of cubs, clubs, cups. You know, Michael, I need new teeth. If anybody wonders sometimes where, you know, I don't get my S's right, it's because I have to get my teeth realigned. And yeah, okay, I admit I'm old and I have dentures, all right? So.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it might be going around. I bit into a cheeseburger earlier this week and I had a pain in one of my molars.
Oh, no.
So I might need a new tooth or two myself.
It's a teeth thing going on. All right. 6 of cups. So empowerment, the 6 of cups has everything to do with family, service, community. So that's what I mean by I think your energy has really shifted, and feeling a little more optimistic. And that might have started, I don't know why I feel like yesterday it might have started or some things in this week, and it's continually improving. So yeah, it's like getting the juices flowing again. It's exciting for you, Jeff. Good.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. And for our card keeper, Wendy.
Absolutely.
You know, and she was out on a, like a scary pub crawl last week, and that's why she wasn't with us. A paranormal.
Well, you were missed, scary. And I know that you caught up in the chat. It's always nice having you, though. And just for anybody that didn't know, we call her our card keeper because she tracks patterns, you know, in the cards we pull to find any other messages that might be coming through the mathematics.
Yep.
I love it. And, you know, we're coming up to that half-year point in the next month. So we're going to have to try and cajole her on, and Dr. Mike would get you on again, and it's all coming up. But for you tonight, Wendy, I hope this one hits. I don't know that I pulled it in a minute. Number 25, the power of belief.
Mm.
Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help. Beliefs can hinder, enable, or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction. Good card.
You know, I thought this was strange because the power of belief, and then I pulled the Jack of Clubs, and I said, well, what's that about? So I pulled another one as the King of Clubs, so I have to go with it, power of belief. It's believing in someone, and I don't know, I want to say giving them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they haven't deserved that in the past, but this time it's to carefully give benefit of the doubt and see where things go. So this is a situation that if it hasn't already occurred, it's in the process or will. This could be somebody who maybe hasn't necessarily lied but not told you the whole truth. You know, it's like absence of information. And now are you getting the information? And so the more information you get, it's go with that. But I always say, you know, go cautiously, especially if it's related to business. It's because... business is business. Business is a game.
That's so, true. That's true.
You got to play chess in the game. So,
true enough.
I'm encouraged, though. You know, I'm encouraged for you because it's your tools are all sharpened up there, Wendy. You got this.
I love it. All right, I think that's it for our cards this evening. You know, and this has been a wonderful discussion.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to kind of wrap things up. I just want to remind everybody to please join us next week. Dr. Doug Kelly is joining us for the topic of staying grounded in life. But, you know, I have absolutely loved getting into this. I had just been, you know, kind of scouring things, and this just piqued my interest again. I can't do it justice. That's why I encourage people to look it up as well. But, man, I love talking about it. So
everybody in the chat was all over this one, Michael. So
that's a good one.
It's great.
It's good stuff. It touches on so many things, but... But as we wrap up this evening, Dr. Vicki, any last thoughts you want to leave us with?
You know, I do want to say this. The world is crazy. It just feels like it's in chaos. It feels a little crazy. You have to take, like, one thing at a time. One event at a time. One day at a time. And that's when I say, don't let them push you around. Stay true to yourself. Don't let anybody or anything waver you from who you are. A friend of mine and I had a friend yesterday. We had a talk about this and saying, just be us. It's not going to change me. It's not going to, you know, I walk out the door and I know I'm going to encounter at least 5 crazy kinds of things today. And I always know if I'm driving down the block, or, you know, 2 or 3 blocks, I know what kind of day it's going to be by how people are driving. And so it's you're going to come across, you know, things that you raise an eyebrow or roll your eyes, and you just have to do that and don't emotionally react to it. Just stay true to yourself. Things are changing. Things will improve. You know, we just have to weather the storm and do our part. That's all.
Well said. Well, with that, everyone, we'll leave you with that. I can't top that. And I really hope you join us next week for our next discussion. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.